Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And if I sound terrible, that's because I quite possibly have, not con crud, but seasonal crud. I might be coming down with the atypical fall/winter cold, so I'm not sounding my best right now, but I wish to say that we are back from Baltimore Comic Con 2019. We do still appreciate them extending a kind of an unofficial invite for us to cover their show. We do appreciate that. We do respect that. And because of that, and because of this episode, we're going to be starting with a few interviews that we got at Baltimore Comic Con 2019. We couldn't do an in-depth interview with a lot of the folks that we did get because Baltimore Comic Con is a very busy convention. Instead of a few thousand people like Four State might get, meaning instead of like 1,500 to 2,000 people per show, Baltimore gets about between 25 to 35 thousand people over the course of the weekend, if not more. So it's kind of hard to keep the vendor or the person we want to interview for an extended amount of time. So the people that we did get an interview with, it was a short interview, but we do appreciate their interviews nonetheless. So I'm going to cut right down to the chase and introduce our first interview. It is with Danny J. Quick from Short Fuse Media. So, a wonderful person we got a chance to interview. So, I'm going to step back and I'll let you guys hear that interview with him. And as always, links to where to find his organization's comics and what they put out will be in the description down below. So, here's that interview. And by the way, the only thing we did with this interview, because the software that we use, the app that we use to record, does not record at the best, or should say the highest of volumes. So we did do a little bit of a boost to the audio for this, so you're able to hear Danny answer the questions clearly and understandably. So there's that. So here's that interview. Okay, folks, I am back. I am here with
Danny J. Quick
of Short Fuse Media. I will get a card off the gentleman to provide links in the description down below. Tell us about the organization and what you do.
Absolutely. So Short Fuse Media Group is basically a group of indie comic book creators who came together to learn how to make our books more professional, to get them distributed, and and just to keep creating. We wanted to fill a void in, you know, the things that we didn't see from Marvel and DC, and we want to tell our own stories. So we just figured, you know, why not do it to the best of our ability.
Well, what kind of, just to be clear, what kind of void did you think Marvel and DC were missing?
Well, there's just, stories of all kinds that, you know, we just felt like were missing. You know, things like Ace Blade is a story about, you know, just a young man helping his community and the choices and how his choices impact those not just in his immediate circle, but his whole community. And, you know, I already know Batman's story. You know, I know 75 years worth, and, you know, they keep, you know, redoing it over and over again. I'm like, I don't have to wait for them to tell the story that I want to tell with Batman. I can, you know, create my own character and tell it myself.
And you have a couple other gentlemen here.
Yeah.
And at least one lady. I don't want to discredit her as well.
Yeah,
what do they bring to the table?
Absolutely. So each creator, you know, has their own stories to tell. Like Morgan, he created a story about a man who has a lot of issues with justice in his community. So when he sees injustice, he has to go out and try to help people. And then Kat, her stories are really good superhero stories. She has one about a father and daughter who, you know, everybody in the world loves her father but her, and she's struggling with the acceptance that the entire world sees him one way, but she knows the reality of the situation is different. So it's great to just have a wide variety of stories, and that's why we're glad we got Short Fuse Media Group.
Is this your first Baltimore event?
This is actually my second time coming to Baltimore, but we did a smaller show last year called Y Comic Con, and it was a lot of fun. So we when we had the opportunity to come back, we definitely wanted to come.
How's Baltimore been treating you this year?
Oh, it's been great. The traffic has not been the best, but
that's what me and my co-host tend to thrive, and it's that there need to be more people coming to Artist Alley, because they're what we see, even though we're from a different perspective than you, we're not trying to say that, but what we keep hearing from other folks that are claiming, I'll say it like that, claiming that they are fans, they want the stories to fit their narrative, yet they don't want to, they seem to cower away from Artist Alley to see what someone like yourself is doing.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the reasons I love, you know, coming to Artist Alley and always you know, selling our books, because even across from us, I've learned there's a young man over there with this comic called Burn Man, and it's just a story about the different ways that fire can affect things. And it's like, it's just such a great story. He's a great artist, and I would have never known about it if I didn't come here, if I wasn't here. So, you know, there's a lot of different kind of stories, and these people are creating them. We're creating stories, and we love it.
So in essence, you're filling a void that is there that needs to be filled. Just that a lot of folks think that a lot of folks just don't want to come down here for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a lot of different reasons. You know, Artist Alley is always put in the back of shows and stuff like that. So, you know, the traffic doesn't always trickle back here as well. If you go up to the front of the show, there's plenty of people here. But of course they're gonna come and see celebrities and things like that. But you know, we're happy that when people do come back here, they love the things that we're doing, and they're buying books, and we're having a good time.
It's very glad to hear that you guys are doing something and contributing something great to the comic industry as a whole, and hopefully it doesn't disappear. But still, that being said, just in case it does disappear, but you guys are still putting out content, where can people find your content?
Absolutely. So if you just go to shortfusemediagroup.com, you can find any of the comics that we have here, and they're you can order printed versions or digital versions online. And then also you can find me personally. You can look up our podcast. We actually tell short stories about our superheroes on the podcast. It's called the Super Shorts Podcast.
And folks, I'll leave, again, I'll grab a card or two from the gentleman, and we'll put links in the description down below.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Okay, folks, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Danny. So, again, if you wish to find out more about the comics that his company produce, so check out the links in the show notes in regards to where to find them and so forth and so on. The next interview that we have on the docket, so to speak, is with a gentleman by the name of Gabriel Middleton, who put out a lot of great artwork with interesting themes. So, even better, that his artwork caught me and Big Candy's eye, one of the many vendors that have done so. So he was a great interview. We kind of chatted with him real quick. Another quick interview. It was about the same length as the interview with Danny. So again, I'm going to step back and let you guys and gals hear the interview with him. Again, the interview is going to be in regards to editing wise. Again, with the same type of program, there's going to be a little bit of boosting with the audio involved, due to the fact that it's, in essence, the app that we use and the phone that we use to record the audio. We are grateful that we have this app and this tool at our disposal, just that this is the only type of editing that we have to do with it. Therefore, we got to use what we got to use, so until we find something a little bit better. So again, I'm going to step back, and here is the interview with Gabriel.
Folks, I am here with Gabriel Middleton, is it?
Yes, sir.
This is your first time, I should ask, what is that you do? And
I am a fantasy illustrator from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I'm happy to be here at the Baltimore Comic Con. This is my first Baltimore Comic Con, and I'm smitten. I love it. I'm having a great time.
So, as your first Baltimore, is it an eye-opening experience at a larger show compared to a smaller show?
Yes, I mean, honestly, even at the smallest thing, I mean, it could be two or three people that have the same passion for art, and I'd be probably have just as much fun, but the size and just the people and the variety of different kinds of new things I'm seeing, yeah, it makes a big difference from some of the horror cons that I've done and Monster Manias I've done. I'm very much enjoying this. I feel very much at home.
Now, you have at your table a wide variety of interesting and unique artwork, including the one I just picked up today, which is Jason versus Jaws after eating Freddy.
Yes.
But there's others like Ned Flanders in Hell and a Gargamel piece. Where do you draw inspiration from?
Honestly, I try to pull my inspiration from a combination of humor and a little bit of torment, honestly, in my own life. I pride myself in spending large amounts of time on one piece rather than multiple pieces. I'm sort of more quality rather than quantity kind of guy. I absolutely adore dark fantasy, horror. I think a lot of it comes from my absolute unbridled passion for Frank Frazetta's artwork. Life-changing kind of thing right there. So ever since then, you name it, anything from, you know, Labyrinth to Legend to Lord of the Rings to horror and fantasy, I absolutely love it and just live and breathe it. Superheroes are great, and I love, you know, superheroes, classic superheroes are awesome, but I have this thing for that hybrid of like fantasy and horror that I just can't get enough of.
Now there's one piece, even though I picked up the Jason piece, there's one piece that's kind of catching my eye as well that I want a few answers about, is the one that's right behind you with the this topmost under, above the alien piece. The one next one down. That one.
That's interesting you said that, because that is actually a painting that I did. The chubby little guy is actually supposed to be me when I was a kid, and no one really knows that. This was a character I designed about 15 years ago that I actually named Paranorman, but I unfortunately didn't copyright the name and time until the Leica film came out. So now I have sort of like a question mark as far as what I'm going to call this character, but basically that's just a parody of the way I was when I was little and insecure and chubby, and well, I'm still chubby, but basically that's just me getting the shit scared out of me by some godforsaken pumpkin-headed looking alien.
Now, because we wanted to be a little bit brief because things are getting picking up here at Baltimore Comic Con this year, where can they find your art?
You can find me. I'm a new Instagram subscriber, so I am at Instagram at GabrielMiddleton444.
Okay, and folks, I'll give him a tag in the description down below. So check him out. Check out what he's done if you're interested. Give him an email or contact him through Instagram, and I'm sure I'll be happy to send you whatever art after fees and everything else. And
awesome.
It's been an
absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Very much.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Gabriel Middleton. So now it's the time that all of you have been waiting for, what me and Big Candy thought of Baltimore Comic Con 2019. And sadly, it's the type of audio that all of you have come to love to hate, and that is car audio time, because we recorded this on the way home. Why did we do this? Because we had a choice. Either record it on the way home, drive home, or record it at the local Burger King where there was a TV playing along with local, a TV playing local news, and as well as audio music coming from the speakers above. So it was either get claimed on YouTube with an audio mess of us talking about what we saw that day and what happened during this event that we went to see, or drive home and record our thoughts that way. So we decided to go with option B and record on the way home. So because we used the sync map that we used with the interviews, well, there might be some boosting involved, I'll say that much. And it split up into two parts, which I'm not going to really say I will not interrupt part the two parts by saying, hey, now is the time for part two. I'm just going to tie them both together and let you hear both of them all at once. And it's going to be kind of a little bit of a doozy because both of them together are about 42 minutes and change, maybe 43. So that being said, I'll see all of you on the other side with the closing announcements and so forth and so on. So till then, here is what we thought of Baltimore Comic Con 2019.
Hey folks, we are on the road home after having a great meal. Well, depends on how you want to call Big Burger King a great meal, but still we had food for dinner and we're on our way home from Baltimore Comic Con. We have a lot of, depending on when you heard hearing this, we either put up a whole crap ton of content in regards to additional content to Baltimore Comic Con 2019. And to refresh a lot of you out there, we did try to put in for press passes, and we were respectfully denied, I'll say that, but we were respectfully invited to purchase a ticket and cover the show the best way we could. Come to find out, this is kind of their practice a little bit, because we were speaking to someone who had press passes, and I guess it is their way of doing things is having somebody come in to pay for their ticket to cover, I guess, to kind of see if they will actually cover the show instead of just want that free ticket. And did we do that? Yes, we did. We will probably have about we will have about 5 or 6 hours worth of content, video content up for you. We'll have like long form and short form content on our YouTube and Facebook channels for you to see it and to compare it to how they deal with their floor plan and compared to like a convention like Otakon. And we got a lot. We have on this episode 2 interviews for you. They're not very long, but still we have a lot of interviews for you. We got a lot of additional videos that are on our interviews that we got on our video. So check our Facebook page at facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast for those videos. I'll get try to update upload them as soon as I can. If they're not up there already, they will soon be so because of, again, the internet at my place is still kind of iffy. And trying to upload a whole mess of videos at the local Dairy Queen is not really the best way to do things. But that's beside the point. Today in Baltimore, it was very, very busy, very... You know, they did a good job, but it was kind of almost like a shotgun type of floor plan. Very big floor plan, I'll tell you that much right now. They used pretty much every square inch of that floor plan that they could, but which is a good thing. That it, when you compare, I want to say when I compare it to Otakon, they are so fucking spread out. It's like not really that good of a use of their space. Meaning, they could have easily probably put their artist alley in their main hall, whereas here it's all in one. The downside with that is that the aisles are very narrow and cramped. But the upside, like you see in our videos, is you could find anything and everything. You had not just Ripley's, believe it or not, there. You had this guy selling like spines and like bug skeletons and shark teeth. And it was awesome. It was like totally, it was like out of left field. But you had, there was like the usual stuff like people selling the Lego Marvel stuff and DC stuff. And you had like, again, it's Baltimore, for those who don't know, right now they're a 95, maybe 96% comic book related convention. The remaining few percent is they have a few media guests. Like I'd say about 5 or 6, which is not that many, and it still keeps them true to their show because a lot of the people that they bring in are either superhero related or I should say comic related or pop culture related. Like this year they had like one of the folks from I don't know why they brought him in, but because Battlestar Galactica remake has been gone for quite a while now, so I don't know what he's doing recently to warrant him to be at the show, but I'm sure he's still of interest to a few people. But they had one person from the person who played Jonah Hex in DC's Legends of Tomorrow. They had Greg Sipis, I think his name is, who voices a lot of different characters, like from Teen Titans Go, Ninja Turtles, and various other cartoons and animation type stuff. I know it's the same thing, but a lot of folks will argue the fact that cartoon and animation are two different styles. And I can agree with that. There is a difference a little bit. So, but one of the other folks they had is Tara Strong. For the folks out there that don't know about Tara Strong, is that she has she voices a lot of folks. She in some communities she's most well known for voicing Harley Quinn in the Batman original Batman series cartoon series, and apparently she also voiced Batgirl in the show too, which is, you know, new to me. And plus she's going on IMDb, she's done over like 100, 200 stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the other things she's known for is to, voicing Timmy from Fairly Odd Parents. I was like, oh, it's a toss up. I was like, oh, man.
Timmy Turner.
Silver Alert. Yes, we're.
Pilot.
Honda.
VNH.
Oh, Silver Alert is missing old person.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So, I didn't get a chance to see. Yeah, you know, I've told one person that voice actors have the unique form of magic. And that's the best way to describe it, is because they're their own type of artist.
Right.
Because people don't know what they look like.
Right.
And I saw the magic firsthand. I think it was earlier. It was the spring Four State Comic Con when they had the voice actress there who voices Pearl from SpongeBob SquarePants, and when she knelt down to speak to, she used that voice on like a four or five year old. His eyes, as soon as it clicked, his eyes lit up like what? That's the magic,
right?
And it, I mean, just to see it in action. You don't realize you're in awe. But, yes, she did a couple of the voices that she's been familiar with. So it was fun to meet her, get her autograph. I got her autograph on, it was like what the artist did was like a split of Batgirl and Harley Quinn. So it was pretty unique piece. We did get a chance to see Ken Hunt. Making fun of Billy Tucci at the at his booth. Come to find out there is a reason why. Folks out there who have not followed Billy Tucci on Facebook, please do so. He's a hoot. He's a great guy. He's been promoting crowdfunding comics, or helping start that movement to help a lot of, especially a lot of the new folks that are trying to get into comics and draw it. So it's a great, what he's trying to do as like a mentor,
yeah,
is a great idea. And the thing is, I think it was like last year, about midway through last year,
yeah.
The running gag with him, it was this Jerry Tucci thing. And what that came to be was, they at a show, instead of putting his name on the card, they put Jerry Tucci on it. And it's been a running joke for about a year or something like that. And he roll. Like I said, he has a sense of humor. He rolls with it. So, and especially when you, I guess if you're friends with Ken Hunt, you got to roll with a lot of jokes too. Sure. So, we met. You'll hear one of the interviews. I think his name was Gregory. I want to say Gregory. I don't remember. I don't have his card with me in the vehicle driving home. But the artwork that he drew, like the Jason versus Jaws.
That shit was cool.
Oh, that was awesome. I picked one up. But I mean, you had a lot of great artwork there. You had a lot of independent artists.
Oh, and we finally got the answer to the question that we were wondering with the, the bootlegging thing.
Yeah, the bootlegging. We met this other artist there. I wish I should, I should have stopped by that back there, but I forgot all about it. He literally hand drew. You want to talk great, like, he drew, like, Batman, like the Netflix Punisher, Freddy Krueger. He hand drew these 25 inch piece.
Yeah.
It was like a 25 by 30 piece or something like that. Yeah. Hand drew pretty much each and every freaking one of them. And they're all, because of that, each one is slightly different. And he'll color them, meaning like if you want Freddy to have like a blue eye and a green eye or something like that, he'll do that as color. You could have it colored over time. And they were like $20 or something like that.
Yeah,
oh, if we go back next year, he's the guy I'm going to gun for.
Yeah.
Because of how well drawn his stuff was. He's in our video, so check out our Facebook and the YouTube accounts for that video. Because we'll tag him in it. Because they were a sight to see. And he answered, as Big Candy said, he answered our bootlegging question. Or had some insight to it. Because what he said the reason why he's able to avoid the copyright aspect of things is because, one, each one is hand-drawn and therefore can be slightly different than what the copyright thing is. Whereas a lot of the other places that might sell prints is just like they're photocopying each print in a way. So that's where the distinction lies, because he hand-draws his stuff and hand-colors his stuff.
Right.
Each one has the possibility to be different.
Yeah.
So we do recommend checking out our videos for this. This is why we tend to put stuff on both our YouTube and our Facebook accounts. But I think a lot of the stuff is going to be a little bit too big for our Facebook. But they'll go up on YouTube as soon as I can. And I'll start putting stuff up as much as I can at the hotspot that we can. But hopefully I'll be looking into our internet situation over the next couple of days, and we'll hopefully get it situated, and we'll get the rest of the videos up once they're ready and willing to be done so. We got a lot of photos.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of interesting sights. No, we did not meet the one and only Mark Waid. so dying to have a comic book thrown at us or get officially banned by Mr. Waid, by who we follow on Twitter and other social media, but we haven't yet. And if he ever heard this or that aspect, and we do get kind of not banned, but you know, not allowed to see his stuff and all that, I'll take that as a badge of freaking honor. I will. Oh, you're blocked by Mark Waid. Ooh, I'm blocked by Mark Waid. Ooh, so scared. It wouldn't be the first ninny that freaking blocked me because of who I follow on Twitter. Oh, you want to block me because I follow Ethan Van Sciver. Ah, screw you. So, but either way, there was a lot of, I think one of the other, there were two major downsides today. One was there was the marathon today, which ran right through the main section of town. Obviously, they had this marathon set up earlier than what they did in years past.
Here at 7 something, so it was earlier.
So, yeah, it was earlier than that. The other thing that I saw that was a little bit hodgepodge at times was how they did some of the lines for the bigger name artists.
Yeah.
And the fact that, well, the third thing, if you want to add to it, was that some of the artists were at, now let me specify this, or add some context to this. And yes, I'll let Big Candy speak in a moment. But the fact of the matter is a lot of the vendors were charging. The context is, though, some of the ones that were charging, they had, it was for, the money was going towards a charity like Heroes Initiative or Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which I didn't really see there this year, but sometimes some of the artists tend to do that.
Right.
They have a jar up saying $2, put $2 in the jar, or put $1 in the jar for Comic Book Legal Defense Fund or Hero Initiative. So it's going to a good cause. I don't mind that. But there were a lot of artists that were like, if you want an autograph, pay me $5.
Right.
Or pay me, you know, $10 or something. It wasn't that much, but it was like, pay me $5 was one of the signs that I saw. But you had other artists. Again, I'll bring him up because he's a great guy. He was taking donations for the local, veterans center. Like one of the veterans administrator, not VA hospital, but it was like for vets.
Yeah.
He was taking donations. That was Billy Tucci.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful call. He was doing something like, if you want to donate, throw in $1, throw in $1.
Yeah.
If you want to throw in $5, throw in $5. And I had an extra dollar. I put in an extra dollar.
Right.
But that's always a wonderful thing to see. And getting stuff from, but still getting a prints from someone like Ken Hunt or Billy Tucci, you're supporting the local artist, the artists anyway.
Yeah.
To kind of quote again, I think it was Jimmy Pomeriolli that said, support your artists because they're the ones that created a lot of what you read that's out there, or a lot of what you read.
Right.
So that's my little benefits and grievances. What do you have to say about this? About this year?
Well, it's the first year back in, what, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
So, it was a good little convention that we, you know, I mean, it's the one, to me, that seems the most, I don't know, comic booky, if you want to say that. It's the one, to me, that seems, like, the most legit as far as, like, the comic book world and everything and everybody involved. I thought there was a lot of really good artists there today and, you know, a lot of good people. There was some work that was, like, just blowing me away. Like, people that, you know, were in Artist Alley and areas like that.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about after the initial thoughts on it, is to talk about Artist Alley because of what we saw.
Yeah, man. I always like going to Baltimore Comic Con. Even if I'm not reading a lot of comics at the time, which I'm not, it's nice to go there and see, like, what all there is, like, right now, what's new and what's to be offered. Always look good to see all the people and, like, all the, you know, the younger people that are there and the cosplayers and stuff like that.
The thing is that some of the people that sold stuff for cosplay, like, they had that one booth that had the Michael Myers mannequin set up.
Right.
They had one of the guys that played Michael Myers there. He wasn't listed on the, I don't think he was listed on the major site. But I think he was just there because the people that run that booth wanted him there.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that's always a fun treat to see something like that at a Baltimore Comic Con. Hey, we brought this additional celebrity in for, you know, fits and giggles. And they pretty much announced it over the PA system, too.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, he deserves it. He's a good artist.
And we saw this one booth that did, like, 3D modeling.
Yeah, there's two of those, actually.
But the one we saw that we could kind of give a shout-out is that what they do is, for $30, they 3D model you. And if you want the statue, something like, that's just a 3D model. You keep that 3D model.
Right.
If sometime down the road you actually want that statue and have it colorized the whole nine yards, then you can pay for it.
Right.
It's not like, oh, it's like, you have to pay $700 per se.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm probably over-exaggerating the price. But it's not like you have to pay for the whole thing right now.
No.
You could pay for it. Get the model now. When you have the funds, get it.
Right.
And I think that's a good game plan, at least. I think it's working for them anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I was about to say, what can we say? Artist Alley.
Yeah.
A lot of great artists in Artist Alley this year. Not many barkers this year.
No.
Because there have been quite a few years that we've been there. There have been people like, hey, come here. Hey, you know, actually barking their stuff. Like, yeah. Like the year that we went there was, they did he drew everything in regards to, like, it was the Catpocalypse or something like that.
Yeah,
but he was calling people over. We're back, folks. Sorry for the delay. We just need to kind of...
Not die.
We were driving safe, but we just needed to take a few minutes break and just get to someplace a little bit more where we could record.
Not driving.
What we were kind of talking about is Artist Alley. The fact that we saw a lot of diversity in Artist Alley.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that matter, which is a wonderful, great thing. We are not knocking it in any way, shape, or form. Please, the group of guys we spoke with, it was like Short Fuse. I think it was shortfuse.com. Check out the interview that's either was before this or after this, depending on where I want to stick it. Wonderful group of people. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, you know, diverse group of folks. The thing is, nobody wants to come to, like they said in the interview, nobody wants to come up to Artist Alley, or very few people want to come back to Artist Alley, because Artist Alley is always in the back.
Right.
And, you know, it's tough, but it's great for them.
I tell you one thing about Artist Alley that's hard, is that there's so much stuff, and how do I say this without being a jerk? Oh, fuck it, I'll be a jerk. Okay, so you have really, really good artists back there, and you have really, really, really bad artists back there.
Right.
And you want to look at everybody's stuff. I mean, if you're a good person, you want to look at everybody's stuff equally. Like, you want to, like look at it. But, like, sometimes you can't help yourself. Like, you'll see stuff and be like, oh, my God, that's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, we saw a couple things that we just thought were just amazing.
Balls to the wall great.
But literally, like, right next door is, like, some guy like drawing like stuff that looks like my son did it, and I'm just like, he's looking at me like, hey, what about my stuff? And I'm like, what about your stuff? I'm not trying to be mean, but
there was a guy there called he's different.
No.
He took something that his son did and made it
that guy was fine. I'm saying, like, his son is like 5 or 6 years old. He's working his ass off for a 5 or 6 year old. Good on him. I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about people whose like skill level is just not there. And I'm not saying I'm great. I'd be like, you know, mid level if I went to one of these things. Like, not even, probably like below mid level. Because a lot of these people are just really fantastic artists. Like, you can tell they are trained. They went to school for it. Like, some of the stuff that they're cranking out is just like on another level altogether. Like, and why they're not more popular than they are is another question. But I mean, I don't know the answer to that. But as far as like it goes, like, you know, you'll have somebody really great sitting beside somebody not so great, and you can't look at them in the same light. You can't look at them in the same way, and it really stinks, because like, you're trying to cover everything as equally as you can. You're like, you know, you're trying to cover everything with a level, like, kind of playing field, like, I want to give everybody a shot. But they're looking at you like, please look at my stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to.
Basically, what Big Kenny, I don't want to explain what Big Kenny's saying, but
yeah.
Try to see what you're saying is that there are some people that are drawing on the level, to use big names, on the level of a Mark Silvestri,
yeah,
or a Michael Turner, or so forth and so on,
sure,
or a Billy Tucci, and that there are some that are somehow drawing still on a level of an average 10-year-old.
Right. Right. Well, I wouldn't even say that. They're very good, but it's just not my kind of good.
Right.
And they're looking at you like, come look at my stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to.
But that's also the thing about Artist Alley. You have a lot of great folks, again, like the folks at us.
Maybe I'm overthinking it, which I'd love to do. Like, that's a hobby of mine, probably. I guess if you're going to set up, you got to have, like, a thick skin. Not everybody's going to like your stuff. I hope they understand that. Not everybody. You're not everybody's cup of tea. Like, certain people are looking for certain things. I know I am. Like, there's even amazing artists, like, guys that, like, their work blows me out of the water, but I'd never buy it because it's not what I'm into. So, I mean, that goes for that, too. But getting back to the guys with Sort Fusion, what you're saying about, like...
Yeah, I'm just saying they had the ability. They were bringing people in. They're like, yeah. Hey, come here, check out our stuff. Well, and there were other people like,
they were good barkers.
Hello.
They were good barkers. They were good barkers. And they also had a skill set that obviously... They were killing it. Like, they're right. Like the stuff that they were doing
was
amazing.
And, like, that guy that we met that was, like, 6'8".
Oh, he's...
7 foot easy.
Jesus, dude.
Oh, man. And he had great work in what he was trying to do. He had at least a good mindset in reference to putting it in store.
Created a friggin' universe, like, in his like, stuff. Like, it's amazing. Like, he's thought this whole thing out. It was nuts. Like, I mean, you could put it on par with, like, Star Wars, like, how thought out it is. It's insane. But going back to what you were saying about, like, diversity, like... there was a lot of black representation there today.
And we're not saying it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, I never said it wasn't. No, I'm saying it was, like, a lot more than I've seen in the past. And I like to think that there's a lot more black representation in comic books. Not only just, you know, black representation, but black representation that represents black people. Like, I wanted to talk to that one guy. Remember the red shirt? He said, come back, and we just never made it back to him.
Right, I think so.
I wanted to talk to him, because remember, there was people kind of in front
of
us.
Right, right.
Like, he said, we stand for a lot of things, and that's what I kind of wanted to talk to him about.
Dude,
like,
if you listen to this, which I doubt you will, but if you do, if you listen to this and hear this,
we'll
give you a shout. We want you on our show. We're happy to have you call in through Skype and talk to us. I'll put that out there.
Right, because I think it's important, because... you know, these guys probably grew up watching a lot of superheroes and, like, you know, Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, you know, X-Men, whatever. And, like, there's always only that handful of, like, black representation in comics. And I'm sure they love the white superheroes, too. But when it reflects in their work, I see that they want to put the superhero costumes on people that look like them. And I think that that's fantastic. Like, you know, and it's done... like, Marvel does it for, like, diversity, like, they have to do it.
Like, they want to check off a box.
Like, they want to check off a box. Like, they want to force it. These guys do it out of passion for their artwork. They do it out of passion for their hobby. And I think that's the kind of stuff I like to see.
You know what? I'm set here first. You guys are going to probably hear their interview first, before even this. So you guys could hear, he said, the guy that I interviewed said, there is a void that they want to see filled their way,
right,
in a way, and not Marvel's way or their way. They right. just want, like, we want to see it how we want to do it. We want to guide the narrative how we want to.
Right.
So I'm going to let you guys are going to hear his words first from his mouth.
Right.
So, and that's what they wanted to do is,
right,
you know, do things their way. And not just kind of check off a box.
Right. And that's important, because that's what's turning a lot of people away from comics right now, is, like, the diversity hires and the SJW stuff and checking off boxes just to check off the boxes without really caring about the content. I care about the content.
It's folks that are in the Artist Alley that care about the content.
Right.
And the thing is, where you have somebody like Marvel, when you hear something like Comics Matter with your boy Zach, is the fact that Marvel is hiring a lot of female people or people of diversity that don't know too much about the material that they're working on. Here is Artist Alley at Baltimore Comic Con 2019, loaded with
a wide spectrum of people and backgrounds, men, women, black, white, you know, Asian, doing, you know, filling this with great content without checking off a box. And we spoke to Tom Castellano's wife for about 9 minutes, 10 minutes, about her work, her ex-husband. You could say ex because she said he passed away. Well, but still, her deceased husband. The fact that she continues work because she enjoys it, you know, and how she does, you know, repurposes old stuff with incorporating a different artwork.
Yeah, and if you ever wanted, like, a positive female role model as far as, like, artists goes, man, she's one of them.
Right.
Like, man, she's, like, she says she has her work everywhere. Magic the Gathering cards, commercials, like, stuff for, like, not just comic books. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And that's the kind of stuff I like to see, too. I like to see women represent without, again, checking off a box, women representing their hobby, their art, and their selves in a way that is good for, like, not only the hobby, but good for them, as you know, good for, like, everybody to see somebody succeeding that way.
And the thing is, with someone like her, it's not like, you should enjoy my work because I'm a woman. They're doing it, hey,
you should enjoy my art.
Period. And you know what? If you're a girl or a woman or young lady that wants to do this, do it too.
Yeah.
They're going, it's like, even though I'm a woman, check out my art. Look at my art. Look at my art, damn you.
Right.
And instead of, look at me because I might be an artist, I'm a woman too. How dare you? They're promoting their art. That's what, you know, you hear Ethan Van Sciver say. It's like, you should be promoting your artwork, your work, getting that out. Even Comics Matter with your boy Zach says the same thing.
Sure.
You should be promoting your work more so than
the politics
and everything else. Yeah. Because what she was telling us at her booth, a lot of people come up, like, what motivate you? My mortgage payment, my gas bill, my electric bill. That's what motivates me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And you have, I'm not going to put words in Billy's mouth. It's like, he helps new people getting the word out about their new work and getting, you know, how to, do proper crowdfunding and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. That's a mentorship. That's not, you know, putting people down. It's building people up, building the hobby up. That's what we're trying to do too, and that's what Artist Alley is.
Yeah.
I think prior to this, even way back when, Big Candy kept saying, like, Artist Alley, Artist Alley, and I was kind of the person that was like, Artist Alley, that's gotta be some sort of joke. And now it's like, I gotta weed my way back there because it's part of the convention scene, and
It's too much to take in.
A lot of it is, and it's like but the thing is, a lot of times it's the convention's dirty little secret,
the
bastard child of whatever, you know.
And everybody's not like, it's so funny when we ask people about their characters. Everybody's got their spiel down. Everybody's trying to sell their book, and it's great because, like, a lot of those books, like, they're worthy of sitting in the shelves, or, like, more worthy than the books that are on the shelves right now, like. I mean, some of the stories were just fantastic. Like, what that guy was telling us about the beings of pure light and teaching mankind. And I was like, oh, my God. This guy's, like, got this thing unlocked. Even the punk rock taco. I mean, really? Punk rock taco?
Yeah. Which,
but
which
it was a cute little story, and the art was great.
And the thing is, that's what we were talking about. The punk rock taco was taken from the idea of his son.
His five-year-old son.
And you saw a story there and inspiration. And he worked out a story for his son. So we're not knocking that, you know, going on. And it's something for kids and something, you know, to build up to. And the thing is, a lot of congos don't want to go past the new stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want to go past. Well, a lot of the stuff that is put out by the Artist Alley is new stuff.
Right.
But they just don't want to go past the Valiants or the Marvels or that aspect. It's I guess one of the reasons that makes Artist Alley Artist Alley.
Right.
It's the new.
Right.
It's the new regime. And the thing is, the way comics may be going now, it's the crowdfunding that might be the next, and the independent scene, which is Artist Alley.
That's going to be the people that you're buying from next. I think the independent scene might just blow up if comics stay around. Like, if there's a thirst for comic books and it stays around, I think Artist Alley would be the way to go. Marvel's just like... The problem with Marvel is exactly what happened and why they're failing now. It's like, people go to the movies and they see Iron Man, they see Tony Stark, they go to the comic book shop out of curiosity.
The few that do.
Yeah, the few that do. They go to the comic book shop and they see a woman wearing the suit. Or, you know, or they see somebody that's not Tony Stark. I wouldn't even say a woman. They see somebody that's not Tony Stark doing things that Tony Stark would never do. You know, they go to the movies and they see Captain America. They get a Captain America book and he's saying things that Captain America would never say. And it's like, at some point, you know, there's a disconnect. Even with the older fans, like, what happened to my comics? And the newer fans, like, these suck. They're not anything like the movies. Like, I'm not getting good stories. I'm getting, like, stuff thrown in my face the entire time.
And the thing is, the reason why a lot of stores might be going out of business as well is because some of the shops are saying, well, you have to read these. You have to. Well, if not, get out of my store. Well, and they're not. Then that's what's happening.
And Marvel's kind of choking everybody, too. Like, they're saying, like, oh, Marvel and DC. I don't know. DC's, like, DC's a little bit better.
But we're getting a lot of news about what Marvel's doing.
Yeah, like, Marvel, apparently, they're making people buy so many copies to get a variant copy. And it's like, okay, and you have to buy it. There's so many different covers. And it's like, you know, it's the same shitty story on the inside. I don't care how many covers you put on it. You know, it's like, nothing's been that good lately. Nothing has been good at all lately.
But the thing is, this is where the difference might come in. Mm-hmm. Where everyone, we're not knocking Baltimore Comic Con. We've enjoyed ourselves this year. We mm-hmm. loved it. But not everybody wants to see a Baltimore Comic Con exclusive cover of a Spider-Man comic right now. Or a New York Comic Con exclusive comic.
You know what? I would have maybe liked to see it if they would have bothered to show up.
I'm just using it as an example.
Well, I'm just saying, Baltimore Comic Con has been around for 20 years. You ever see Marvel there?
No, we've seen Dark Horse, we've seen DC.
I've seen DC back in the day, but they're not even there anymore. But, like, we did see who? Valiant. They were there.
Valiant's been showing up at Fourth State events.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you're seeing major companies at Baltimore put out a show exclusive, whether it be a Baltimore, San Diego, or a New York Comic Con, and it's still flooding the market. Right. Again, as you said, it's the crappy one more additional cover for a crappy story, possible right. crappy storyline.
Yeah.
But having a punk rock taco right. exclusive cover, him going out of his way to make one exclusive cover for a big show
right.
is totally different.
Yeah.
Because you might only see that at Baltimore.
Right.
Nowhere else.
Right.
Because he's printing out stuff for the same stuff for maybe three or four shows a year.
Mm-hmm.
But he made one exclusive, let's say, for example, one exclusive. That's special. Not the 50 billion Marvel covers for something else. But I still will say that the blank covers is mm-hmm. something different.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm glad that Artist Alley exists. I'm glad that all the artists down there they come out every year. I'm really happy for them making money on their own. You know, against all odds, you might as well say, because like there's no, I mean, a lot of them probably get their work into shops and stuff, but a lot of them like really probably depend heavily on these shows. To right. get the word out and get and sell their books and stuff, and I think like a lot of them, I think these shows are like their bread and butter, so that's really good that you know they have somewhere that they can be represented.
To kind of quote one of the fellows, anti-Barkers today, "You like, you buy."
That guy was awful.
Oh,
that guy was not. I liked his work.
Yeah, he had good work, but it was like, "You like, you buy."
I was like,
oh, well, God.
You know what I like, but you can go fuck yourself.
But a lot of people, it was like, very shy, very kind of withdrawn. And but you had a lot of folks that might have been shy, but they had what they had. You had a few great barkers like Short Fuse, that had great barkers and just kind of pulled you in, or had something that pulled, or they had something that pulled you in.
Right.
Like the dude that did the drawing, the 25 by 30 inch drawings. Mm-hmm. That it was just something that you had going, wait, what? Yeah, yeah, they had to stop and, you know, take a closer look.
Yeah.
And that they didn't really have to bark that much because you stopped, like, wait, what? It's like the print I picked up with the Jason versus Jaws. I laid it down while I was getting my $4 fucking Gatorade, which only I had to spend because I was freaking thirsty. But when I put it down to it, she was like, "Damn, you got that here? That's badass." It's like it's kind of what we were saying in last week's episode. It's like you lay something down, somebody else is going to want to buy.
Yeah, you're seeding somebody else's desire for cool stuff. I mean, I was jokingly saying, like, you ought to take it to one of the horror cons and, like, have Kane Hodder sign it, you know?
Yeah.
He'd probably have a freaking blast with
it. He'd probably laugh at it, you know?
Oh, he would think it's probably the funniest thing you've ever seen.
But, yeah, like I said, we enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
Probably after this and I get this show together, I will pass my ass out. So, do you have any more to say in regards to this year's Baltimore? Artists or anything like that?
The only thing I was going to say is, like, they need to do better. Well, I mean, I get it why what happened with the marathon being the same day, but holy crap. long story short, I booked parking tickets or parking space in advance, and they had a rally or a
marathon
in downtown near the convention center, and my parking spot was basically inaccessible. Luckily, I'm getting a refund, but I mean, my God, they could have sent everybody a heads up.
I don't think they did this year. I didn't see anything about.
I mean, they could have they could have put something online on the Facebook or something, or sent out an email, like, due to, like, scheduling, like, issues, like, you know, something like, be careful where you park or something.
Or adjust your parking, Panda, or whatever it is.
Because it was a major inconvenience, like, to have to park somewhere else.
So.
Yeah, but, I mean, it is what it is. But other than that, no, I had a great time.
It was a great time seeing a few, the four state regulars,
yeah.
You know, that we did see. There's a few that we kindly missed. So, till next time, depending on everything, I'll probably put the interviews first instead of last or whatever.
Right.
So, take care. Visit our usual... Well, I'll save that for the end of the show stuff anyway. So, we'll leave it at that. We're going to head out, use the restroom here at Sheets, and probably get another thing or two to drink. So, take care. I'm out. You know the routine, folks.
We're back, folks. And to kind of tie things up, I want to, because I just thought of it now as I was adding the second part to our review, is that one of the things I didn't mention in it, but I want to bring up before I close out the show, is, and that is to kind of compare it with Otacon, and is the fact that when I went to Otacon earlier this year, or I should say about 2-3 months ago, Otacon was very, the convention center there was very security conscious upon entry into the building, meaning that every bag, almost every item was checked, literally checked. With the excuse that we got from, like, years past was because at a particular pop culture show, a celebrity guest was threatened, and thus the procedures were enacted at Otacon for security measures. Baltimore didn't have that. Another thing that Otacon was doing this year was the fact that there was kind of no food, no drink, no matter whatsoever. Even though I managed to have a kind of a water bottle with me, they were pretty much super critical of any container going in, whether and what was in that container, meaning if it was water or what, it had to be emptied out. You had to buy something at that convention center. Peanuts, crackers, anything like that was not really welcomed in. I'm sure at Baltimore Convention Center, they had that same policy, but the bags were not that critiqued. Like, what do you have in this bag? Why you have crackers with you? How dare you have crackers? How dare you have water? How dare you? I'm sure if I had a water bottle with me or a soda bottle with me, it would have been perfectly fine. That's the other thing I wanted to bring up. I'm sure there's one or two others that I was thinking of, but I'm extremely tired right now. All I want to do is put my head on the pillow and go to sleep after this. But that's pretty much one of the things I wanted to compare it to. Baltimore is and always has been, as much as my viewpoint of Otakon has changed over the past many years, Baltimore is a friendly show as well. And I'm not saying that because we're familiar with Billy, Ken, and many others that showed up. We're grateful for speaking with a lot of these artists, both independent and well-known. So, we're happy to be a part of Baltimore Comic Con and return to Baltimore Comic Con after a kind of a three-year absence, and covering it as, even though we kind of gave a review 3 years ago, this is our first time actually applying what we've learned over the past 4 years to Baltimore, and we hope you guys and gals enjoyed it. So if any of you out there went to Baltimore this year and you want to join in on the conversation, or you feel that we or our viewpoint in our review is wrong, you're more than welcome to email the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, The Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and send us a message on Facebook. Or if you see this, the pinned post for this episode, feel free to leave a comment underneath it, expressing yourself in regards to how Baltimore Comic Con treated you, or in regards to if this was your first Comic Con or your first comic book convention or pop culture convention. Email us. Let us know. Again, our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We will read your emails and your comments on air, especially in our follow-up episode, which might be next week. It might be in a few weeks, but we will probably have a follow-up episode to this in some way, shape, or form, like we do with Otakon. I'm sure there's other ways we can compare it. Granted, Otakon and Baltimore Comic Con is like apples and oranges. One's an anime convention, and the other is a comic book convention. But still, they're still conventions in their own right, and they're worthy of kind of comparison a little bit of who does what better. But I've enjoyed both conventions this past year. Stay tuned to our YouTube channel and our Facebook page for the videos. Again, for our YouTube channel, you have to search for it. It is, you can just search for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and it'll come up. Hopefully, it'll come, unless YouTube is burying us or not really showing us up on the list. But search for us. We should be the only channel within the first few rankings for everything. But if anything, the link to our YouTube channel will be in the show notes down below, as well as our rest of our other social media, including our Instagram. If you want to direct message us on Instagram, you can do so. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you're more than welcome to do so. Our Instagram handle is Long Coat Mafia. Our Twitter handle is also Long Coat Mafia. So if you want to leave us a DM there, you're more than welcome to do so. Please please do not just say hello on either one. If you want to message us. Because I say that because we've been getting a lot of direct message spam on either Instagram or Twitter. And they always start with hello. And when we respond with hello, we get the usual, would you like to see our dirty pictures type of response. So please, just if you want to message us about our show or any show that we have in our back catalog, just message us about the show. We'll be more than happy to read them. Again, our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. All the social media links, if you can't understand what I'm saying or if I'm going too fast, will be in the show's show notes down below. If you're listening to us via being forced to by a friend, and you want to catch more episodes, you could easily do so on your laptop or your desktop computer by heading on over to either iTunes, Apple Podcasts, depending on which OS you use, or Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or you could go over to our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and search for our whatever is in our back catalog. I won't say search, but you're more than welcome to go through our back catalog of 4+ years worth of episodes and see what we have. We have lost con stuff, including convention panels, ranging from cosplay to almost interview-esque type panels, like with Snitsky and many, many others. So feel free to do that and download those episodes if you want to listen to. And you can listen to them at your leisure with whatever MP3 player software you choose to use. What else? Plus, you could also stream them on the Podbean site if you so wish. And for those of you wondering, it's like, wait a minute, I don't have an internet connection at the house. I do recommend stopping by your local library, signing up for a library card, and you could download the episodes to a jump drive and bring them home to you. But if you're a person on the go, and you have a smartphone, you're able to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, plus the Podbean app, and plus wherever you get your podcasts. But I do recommend the Podbean app overall because you're able to listen to all our back catalog of 4+ years, and plus it's handy to have just in case either Google Play Podcasts or one of the other services decides to go belly up or decide to have a glitch in some way. You have that backup of having our episodes delivered to you as soon as we post them. I do know I'm forgetting some. Oh yes, even though our internet is currently finicky at the time of this recording, or this part of the recording, we do have a Twitch and we do have a Mixer.com channel. You're more than welcome to subscribe to those channels. Our Mixer.com channel is mixer.com/LCMP, and our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/LongCoatMafiaPod. We do have a TikTok account. I have to look it up. I'm not familiar with it, but the link to it will be in our description in the show notes. So, and plus you can find links to the people that we interviewed in the description show notes as well. So give them a look-see if you like what they have to offer. Please make them an offer or contact them in regards to purchasing their works. So I think that is about it for right now in regards to the coverage. Once we find out a little bit more about what other people are saying about Baltimore Comic Con, if we get word in regards to final attendee-wise numbers and other stuff, we'll be more than happy to do a kind of a update episode, especially if we get responses from all of you out there listening to this episode who went to Baltimore Comic Con 2019. So, and for those of you who wish to hear our Gear Up episode, please do so. And you're more than happy to reply to that as well. And we'll save all our responses for the update episode if need be. So feel free to let us know. And take care. I am out. And I'll see all of you next week. And stay tuned for those episodes. We have some panel episodes that we got from King Kong. That's right. King Kong. K-I-N-G-C-O-N. Those will be probably up next in our lineup of episodes. And please stay tuned for everything. So take care. I'll see you all next week. I am the Reverend Godfather, and I am out.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.